Let's sing number 128 by popular demand. Anthony, send the fire. Praise God. 128 in the hymn book.
Thank you, Savior. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I guess it's not too early to start praying. Send the fire, right? Hallelujah. Let's pray for the girls down in the village. My wife has been asked to say something to the young ladies, and she's been looking to the Lord today, and she's been working on her talk, her testimony, and she said, I think I have to make it longer. And she was trying to figure out how to make it longer. And I said, boy, opposites sure do attract, don't we? I spend most of my time trying to make it shorter, and she's trying to make it longer. I don't get it. Praise God. You know, God did some wonderful things for Lily here at camp, and she's going to talk a little bit about that to the young ladies. And she mentioned how she had two identities as a teenager. She had one identity in church and at home. That was Lily. And then when she was in school, she was Lillian. And she said, I was a totally different person in school than I was at home in church. And after a while, she said that Lillian identity began to take over more in her life. And she became more and more like the one in school. And she said, but she became more and more miserable. Wasn't happy. And deep down, she knew she wanted to be Lily, not Lillian. And God began to work in her life and deal with her, and he went out in her. I'm so glad he did, of course. And she's been such a blessing to me in ministry all these years. Stood by my side and prayed with me, and gives me good advice. And I'm so glad that she gave herself to God. And so I trust that she'll be a blessing to the young ladies, and maybe some of them are going through a similar struggle. Maybe some of us are. Do you have a split personality? Are you someone different at school than you are at home or at church? That's easy to do. But you know, the Lord wants to make you one whole person in Christ. And you'll never be happy living like that. You got to surrender yourself fully to Jesus, and he'll give himself fully to you as well. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll bless the young ladies that gather tonight. And, Lord, we pray you'll send the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn in their midst as well. And, Jesus, as they worship you, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will draw near to them, that they will be made aware that Jesus is present. And, Lord, that their hearts will be warmed. We pray, Lord, that you'll use Lily and any others that minister tonight to speak to their hearts, Lord. You know the struggles that are common to all of us, Lord. And Lord, you don't condemn us, but you want to help us. And we pray, Lord, that you will extend that help to these young ladies, Lord, right at the start of this period. Let God meet them. Let God do a work in their hearts. And let that fire continue to burn throughout the whole period, Lord, as they continue to seek you together and enjoy fellowship with one another and call upon you. Jesus, come tonight, Lord, and do a great work among those young ladies, we pray. God, where if there are any whose hearts are hard, maybe some that don't even want to be here. We know sometimes that's the case. They're sent here. They don't want to be here, and they're not open to much. But Lord, how often we've seen you begin to melt those hearts and draw them after yourself and cause them to find new life in Christ. And Lord, we pray that the fire will melt those hard places in their hearts tonight, and that there will be a tenderness ministered to them for the things of God. Pray that you'll bless in the cottage as well. Lord, we know that you know how to bless little children, and you know how to reveal yourself to them and save them, Lord. God, we are always so blessed when we hear that people testify they were saved in the cottage when they were 6, 7 years old, 8 years old, and Jesus kept them all these years. Lord, we pray that you'll save each one of those children, and those that know you, we pray that you'll fill them with your Spirit, Lord. God, we thank you that we can expect great things from you. And so, Lord, bless our counselors. Move by your Spirit. Make them sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing, Lord, so that they can direct things according to your will. And, oh, God, we just pray tonight. It'll be a night of your mighty working. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Everywhere I go, we sing that song differently. Brother Eddie used to hold holy, you know, for about 2 minutes each. And we sing it fast in Canarsie, and Brother Paul's a little bit in between. So I'll try to follow him. We'll sing it again, okay? Praise God. Let's stand together while we sing it. Praise God. Is that a different key? What is that? E-flat. E-flat, okay. I can do that.
Bless the Lord.
Sometimes, well, at least the words. Canarsie. A little faster, okay?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thank you, Lord.
Savior, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Wonderful Jesus, hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Here's an old chorus. Let's see if you know it.
Oh, I feel like giving God the glory. The glory, the glory. Oh, I feel like giving God the glory, for He's done so much for me.
Amen. Does anybody feel like giving God the glory tonight because He's done so much for you? Praise God. Not yet, huh? Okay. We have to warm up a little more, I guess. Praise God. Good. Thank you, brother.
I'm thankful for the Lord and what we heard this morning. When I was a kid here at camp, the Lord would do things for me. And like Brother Kenny mentioned, I'd go home and for some reason it wouldn't last. I'm not saying that I would fall into sin, but I had such a great sense of the presence of the Lord when I was here. And I wanted to maintain that, and I wanted to keep it. And I remember once, especially, I was 2 days after I came home, my parents had people over, and I was looking out the second story window of our house, and they were just sitting there by the garage. And they were, I mean, these were Christian people. My parents were godly, and the Herzogs, they were the guests. And they were just sitting there, and I just didn't want to go down and talk. I just felt that I would lose it. And I remember I was really battling that. And it was many years later, I would think about that all the time. And I see young people here express the same thing, that they go home and for some reason it didn't last. Since it didn't last. And it was Brother Kenny, and it was many years later, it was Brother Kenny who indicated and satisfied me. I said, wow, that's the answer. That God gives us a taste of what He'd like to do for us. And that stayed with me. Now, there are people that think that if you have the same rules at home like we have at camp, that that's going to do it. And that's not it. The rules here at camp aren't magic, as we heard someone use the word the other day. But it's pleasing the Lord that does it. That's the only thing. Pleasing the Lord, and His presence is there. I remember there was a time in my life, and not too long ago, where the Lord was dealing with me about something quite serious. And it was after something in my life. And I remember after I finally totally yielded myself to Him, there was such a marked presence of the Lord. For a long time after, there was just a presence of the Lord. And I didn't work it up, but it was as though He said, yes, I accept your repentance. I accept your giving yourself to me. And it was such a wonderful, wonderful sensation. And then quite recently, not a big thing, there was no repentance involved. For no reason at all, the Lord was so real to me for days and days. And as Brother Kenny mentioned, we can't explain that. He causes His rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And for some reason, God just made Himself so real to me. And I thanked God at the time, and I still thank Him for that. But we can't explain it. God will just come to us sometimes, and as we seek Him, we will find Him. And sometimes in a meeting like this, He will draw close to us. Other times we don't feel what other people seem to be feeling. But we have to come to Him and just know that He's real, that He gives of Himself to us as we give ourselves to Him.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Giveth more grace when
when the burdens grow greater, he sendeth more strength when the laborers increase. To man in affliction, he adds his mercy. To multiply trials, his multiply.
That's number 68 in the white.
His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His heart has no boundaries. No one to man. For God of his infinite graciousness, he loves me.
Summer last year, and I'm sure I mentioned it to a number of people, but some of you haven't heard it, and I'm reminded of it tonight. I was responsible for, and am responsible for, a cousin of mine. She has some special needs, and her mother somehow turned the oversight of her care over to me about 20 years ago. And so my cousin Rosemary lived in North Carolina for a while. Then we moved over to South Carolina. And I would see to it that her bills were paid and that people were hired to visit her in the home and take her shopping and different things like that. And but I knew that after that she couldn't really afford that for forever. After her mother went to heaven, she wasn't getting her mother's Social Security checks anymore, and her own checks were not sufficient to really keep up with all her expenses. And so I often prayed, Lord, show me what to do. And sometimes crises would arise and the Lord would help us to settle those. I'd have to run down to North Carolina and take care of this or that. Before last summer, I realized that her money was running out. I mean, the day had come. She her bills were exceeding her income, and she was getting into debt. And my wife and I, we were carrying those bills, and I knew that I had to sell her condominium and I had to find a place for her to live. And I prayed about that. I thought maybe I can move her to New York and find a place near me and I can take care of her. But when I spoke to Rosemary, she'd never wanted to return to New York. She's a Southern rebel, she tells me. And she likes it much better down there. And so the past summer, I went down to South Carolina 4 times. I went down, first of all, to put a house on the market and to fix it up and make sure that it was sellable. And then I went down to try to find a place to move her. And I told her, Rose, if you don't come to New York, you're going to have to live in some sort of facility. We'll try to find a nice place for you. And so we went to about 6 different assisted livings. And I spent a week just going from one to the other and seeing if it was a suitable place. And there was a complication because she wouldn't part with her cat. Now, I was trying to make this transition as easy as possible for her. And so we were trying to find a place that would take a pet as well. And a couple would, but they weren't such nice places, and most of them wouldn't. And so I went back to New York, and I really wasn't really satisfied with any place that I saw. And it was a big decision. It was a big transition for her, and I just didn't know what to do. Well, when she sold her condo and paid all her bills, she didn't really have a whole lot of money to work with. And so while I was down in South Carolina, I went to a church. I had been there before in Myrtle Beach, and it was a Pentecostal Holiness Church. And there was a different pastor there than I remembered from years ago, but I liked him because he played the guitar very well. He was a professional guitar player, and he had a country sort of style to his singing. And so that made the meeting particularly enjoyable to me. But this man had a real touch of God upon his life, and he really, I really appreciated his preaching. And it was a Pentecost Sunday, and I was down in that meeting, and he preached a good sermon about the Holy Ghost and our need to get more greatly filled with Him. And so I went to the altar with everybody else, and he really didn't know me. But he turned to me and he said, I feel the Lord gave me a word for you. And so he said, I don't know when or how, but the Lord wants you to know He's going to move the unmovable. And I thought, wow, that's just what I needed to hear. You know, in my mind, the unmovable was the situation before me where I had no solution. I didn't know where to turn, what to do. You know, I talk to some people about that, you know, and I talk about my cousin and her need and what some of the changes we were going to have to make. And people in church would say, oh, man, I'm glad I'm not in your situation. They weren't very encouraging. They didn't know what to do either. And so I had an unmovable situation, an impossible situation. But the Lord told me through that pastor, God wants you to know He's going to move the unmovable. And, you know, there was an anointing on what he said. It really went into my heart, and it put faith into me. And I really believed that God was going to do something. It wasn't long after that another cousin of mine, who's a friend of Rosemary, who lives in North Carolina, who went shopping with me looking for these assisted livings, when she returned back home, she gave me a call and said, Kenny, you know, why don't you move Rosemary next to me? We can find a place near my house, and I can look out for her. If she doesn't want to go back to New York, and you want someone to keep an eye on her and make sure she's cared for, I'll look around here, and when I find some places, I'll call you. And so she called me not long afterwards, and there were 2 places she wanted me to look at. And one was not so nice. It was okay. There was another place that was the nicest place that we saw of all the places. And they took cats. And Rosemary had just enough money, it seemed, to be able to pay for a year
And then, of course, she would get on Medicaid like everybody has to when you're paying $4,000 or $5,000 a month to stay there. But it really was a lovely place. If she had to be in a place, that was a nice place to be. And it turned out it was literally 10 minutes from my other cousin's house. And so I took Rosemary there, and she looked at it, and she liked it, and her cat seemed to like it. And so we moved her in, and then I went back and emptied her house. And it was really amazing to me that the Lord gave me the strength and the grace to do everything that needed to be done last summer. It was really busy, and I sort of did it single-handedly. We really didn't have anyone else to help. I had to move a piano out of her house and a couch. And I thought, now, how am I going to do that? I flew down from New York, and I rented a U-Haul, and I was going to drive the piano and couch back home. The only problem was, how do I get that on the truck? And then Lily got on the Internet, and she found out you can rent four college hunks. There's an organization, College Hunks. So we called up and we said we need a few college hunks to help my husband load the truck. And I got there, and one of the hunks was a young lady. But she appeared to be stronger than me, and so I had no problem with it. And we got everything on the truck, and I drove back home, and then I had four hunks up here, Brother Ernie and his son and a few others, and we carried it into our home. But you know, I tell you, I've told this story to people, and how God said he can move the unmovable. And I know that they took that into their heart as well. Because we all have situations like that in our lives where we don't know what to do. And it's true. He is the God of the impossible. When you get to the end of your rope, he's there. And it was just made so real to me in this situation. I can't express to you what a relief and what and how greatly I appreciated the fact that God undertook in the way he did. And it was more wonderful than I could have imagined. And everything was taken care of. And now she's there. And it's not all smooth sailing in every respect. But I know that she's in a good place. And I know that my cousin is caring for her. I try to keep in touch as I'm able. And something that weighed upon me for years, God took care of. Far above and beyond what I could ask or think. But you know, that word from God, that was so precious. You know, that gift of the Holy Ghost, where God speaks through people. This man knew nothing about my situation, nothing. He could have said anything to me that Pentecost Sunday. And he wasn't very specific. He didn't give me any address of a nursing home or adult living. But he just said just what I needed to hear to build faith, to encourage me, and to help me trust God to get the job done. And so I just want to thank God for that again. And I say it not only to give God glory, but to encourage anyone here tonight that may be in a situation like that. Or maybe very different, but still, it's beyond you. You don't know what to do, where to turn, how this thing is going to work out. And the devil likes to paint a dark, dark picture and try to keep you up at night worrying about it. And what's the sense of worrying about it? You can't do anything about it one way or the other. So you might as well just give it to Jesus. And so God wants to move those mountains in your life. And I was reminded of that when Kyle was reading that verse there about believing. All things are possible to him that believe. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt, it will be done. And so I'm so glad that not only does Jesus call us to do certain things, but then he steps right in there to open the way and to give us the grace and get the job done. And I'm encouraged because the next time I have an impossible situation, I'm going to have to look to Jesus again. But he's the very same Jesus, yesterday, today, forever. He's the same. He never changes. And what he's done for me in the past, he'll do again in the present, and I can trust him for the future as well. And I'm so glad that we have a Savior like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's sing, Not by might nor power, but by my spirit, this mountain shall be removed.
Praise God. Thank you. By My Spirit, I think it's entitled, right? 197. We can stand and sing together again, okay? 197. As you're singing the song, is there something you're thinking about? Some mountain that you can't move, but God can move it. And God wants to move it. God's able. God wants to encourage you tonight. Maybe it's not an outward thing. Maybe it's something on the inside. You know, I think those mountains are more important to have moved. And we find them. We find things in our lives that we can't budge. It takes God. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost. And God doesn't want us to be discouraged, but He wants us to know He can remove that mountain as well. And so we want to give our mountains to Him as we sing this next verse. Take faith. Say, Lord, I'm bringing this impossible situation to You. And Lord, I believe that You are able and are going to remove this mountain in my life. I open my heart to the working of Your Holy Spirit. I claim the power of God to work in me that which I need help with and deliverance from and so on. And if it's an outward situation in your life, some circumstance there where you need God to intervene, oh, God wants us to claim His working and take that by faith tonight. And so let's sing the last verse and then let's claim that God can move the unmovable.
Then trust alone the mighty God.
Lord, we give it to you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, do it, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus.